In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And welcome. This is the I Spy Radio Show, where every week we help you get a little more intelligence on big government. And we need it right now, as government in this time of crisis is rapidly expanding its reach. Which is why, more than ever, we need good business-oriented thinkers in government. It's been amazing to watch as governors all across America, and especially here in Oregon, overreach and have shut down huge swaths of the economy as if it won't have any effect at all. And all of this over a virus that is still very minuscule. As of this moment, there are 265,000 people who have the virus in the world. But in a world of 6.5 billion, that's 0.004%. It's that exact same percent here in the U.S., 0.004%. Deaths are even smaller. In the U.S., 210 people have died. In 350 million people, that's 0.00006%, 0.0001%. Plus, the good news is, as we said last week, there have already been vaccines developed. This week, it's even more good news, as cures have been found that have killed the viruses in patients. Did these solutions come from government? No. It came from private industry, the very thing panicky governors are trying desperately to shut down. It's risk versus security. Businessmen like Trump understand that there are always risks involved, but you can't ever let the risks paralyze you into not doing something. It's a matter of analyzing the risks to make the best decisions and choose the ones that will most likely generate a positive return. Government doesn't understand risk because they're about security, not risk. On the other side of this, we will need people who understand business to lead us out of this quagmire, because hunkering down and not doing anything will only lead to the certainty of failure. As with so much of life, getting through this will once again involve getting government out of the way. Fewer regulations, fewer taxes, fewer roadblocks to innovation. One of the things that has really jumped out at me during all of this is the difference of Trump's response as a businessman in comparison to a normal politician. In particular, it's the constant out-of-the-box thinking and seeing opportunities where others see doom and gloom. The Federal Reserve dropped their interest rates, and what's the first thing Trump says? We should refinance all of our federal debt at the lower rates. It will save us a fortune. Price of oil drops to under $30 a barrel, at one point under $20, and Trump says we should immediately refill our strategic oil reserves and buy a 10-year supply. Thursday morning, he announces a deal with the cruise ship lines to convert all of those suddenly empty cruise ships into temporary hospitals. This is all just brilliant thinking of finding ways to capitalize on a situation instead of the normal political response, which would be to seize companies and offer trillion-dollar bailouts to their political friends, like solar companies, for loans that will mysteriously disappear, only to reappear in Democrat coffers during the next election. Funny how that's worked in the past. And of course, they're going to try that again. But you, me, all of us, we need to be watching and raise holy hell if they try that again. That sort of thing is no more. And as I said, there are so many positives right now, which is why I'm saddened to see the mainstream media become some of the biggest panic mongers out there. In times like these, the media has the sacred responsibility of bringing you reliable, truthful information, not spread gossip, innuendo, lies, and hoaxes. If you're a regular listener to iSpy Radio, you know that I don't usually brag. In fact, I'm really quite terrible about self-promotion. Just ask my producer. But I'm going to make an exception today. You probably know we're in our 10th year of being on the radio. In those 10 years of being on the radio, we have never once, not once, had to issue a correction. My producer and I are trained researchers. We spend hours and hours carefully researching something before we even talk about it on the air. 10 years, zero corrections. That's really not bad. Especially when you consider that the New York Times can't go 10 hours without issuing a correction. So I hope you'll continue to put your trust in us, especially now when you need good, reliable information and good news. And we'll have both of that with both of our guests. We'll be talking with Angelita Sanchez of Timber Unity today to get some insights to her on what her members, a great many of whom are truckers, are going through. She also was on conference call on Friday with, I believe, some White House officials, so we'll get some updates there. But first, we'll be taking a look at the media and their response at a time when responsibility is needed, and we'll look at how Trump has been handling all of this. I'd like to welcome James Hurston now to the show. He's a New York Times bestselling author with Tales from the Left Coast. He's also an international business attorney, news analyst, cultural commentator, and social media scholar. James, good to talk to you again.
Oh, great to be with you as we hunker down through this living.
It really is rather crazy. I mean, who would have known that when the zombie apocalypse hits, the reality would be that we'd all rush out and buy toilet paper rather than shotguns?
Well, actually, you're right about that, except they are buying shotguns now. Gun sales are going through the roof, guns and ammunition, as much as people can get their lines around the block in front of gun stores. It hasn't been this way since the days of President Obama. Mm. So it's quite amazing. Well, but the only thing is, you know, when you talk about the hoarding, I happen to notice people who live in the mansions in the Hollywood Hills, they have this appliance a lot of people are unfamiliar with called a bidet, which sprays water and a substitute for toilet paper. So they don't really have to worry so much about hoarding toilet paper, but they're hoarding Botox because we can't have celebrity faces falling at a time like this.
No, can't have those saggy celebrity faces for sure. So let's talk about the coronavirus. That's in part why we wanted to have you on here in terms of the media freak out. First of all, what's your overall perspective on the response to the coronavirus? I mean, has the world gone crazy in its overreaction, or is this really the next black plague and we're somehow managing to contain it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Can we take this seriously? Can we work together to fight it? But at the same time, can we notice if there's an overreaction? Hmm. And clearly, I live in the epicenter of panic and overreaction out here on the West Coast. It's way disproportionate, even though we're one of the states that has, I think we're the second or third largest state when it comes, even though it's not per capita, but perspective shows me, and I watch the numbers, and you know, the media tends to not report the numbers when they're not moving up dramatically, but still, we're the United States compared to the rest of the world is absolutely the best place to be. We have currently, according to Johns Hopkins, the CDC is slower. Yes. In updating their numbers, but John Hobson says we have 150 deaths, about 68 of which are in the state of Washington, and a significant portion of that from one nursing home. Now, 150 deaths in a country of 327 million people, and we have authoritarian politicians who really want to declare martial law. They want absolute government-ordered control of everyone in every business. And even here in Southern California, but the vast majority of people understand this is serious. They're complying. And even, you know, in California, the big restaurant chains, the big fitness chains, theater owners, they had already closed their doors. Voluntarily. And then all of a sudden, you know, Gavin Newsom and some of the local county and city people on their new television shows that they have every day order something done by virtue of executive order, emergency order that was already happening. Mm. So it's like, I think the president's approach is so much better than what I see from the governors. Governor Cuomo has a television show every day where he comes on and he has these various five-prong things that he's going to do. The president's team and their approach is, first of all, to utilize the private sector, have the president communicate in an optimistic way. Yes, we're in a war, but we're going to win the war. We have an invisible enemy, but we're going to defeat the enemy. Unlike what I see in that is the media. The media always sensationalized any story in the past involving any potential tragic event, whether it's weather or it's diseases, it's epidemic. We've seen this happen over and over again.
Yes.
But it's unbelievable the distortion. There's one that happened today that was just striking to me. And this came from the Drudge Report. Drudge still has a huge following, tremendous amount of visitors, and of course has changed. There's rumors as to why it's changed.
Yes.
They have a headline. It says, "Stay home for 18 months, ?
Oh, my word. That's just absurd. I think the distortion by all of the media is just really rather crazy. Let's go ahead and take a break here. We'll continue our thoughts there on the media freak out, the Hollywood freak out, and then some common sense from President Trump. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to James Hirst, and we're talking about some of the media freak out here. And James, going out of that break, you were talking about some distortion there that was happening with the Drudge Report. Why don't you continue your thoughts there?
Okay, so you know how the Drudge Report is an aggregator. It has headlines, and you click on the headline, it takes you to a story. So the headline says, "Stay home for 18 months, ? Which leads you to believe that that's a scenario that maybe somebody is saying, whatever. And when you click on the story, it's a Yahoo News story, which reads this way. It begins with the word no. And it says, no, we're not going to have to stay home for 18 months. Now, how the people that run Drudge, whoever that may be, could think that would be responsible to put down the opposite of what the article says and leave it up there like that. And it's not just in the little, it's in their major headlines, you know. But this is just typical of what you see out there. You see this doom and gloom. And that's not to say that the virus isn't dangerous and that the virus doesn't have the potential to cause some serious damage. But this kind of reporting is causing confusion and panic that is hurting people, hurting the economy, and hurting the market. And so it's taking away from the reasonable, responsible things. And that, of course, the media is un.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's one of the big things that is really missing here is this sense of responsibility that the media used to have when it comes to these kinds of these national problems. You've got a great article up on your site, jamesherson.com, and we'll link that up on ispyradio.com. It's titled "Democrats and Media Allies Stoke Coronavirus Fears." When you look back at how this has unfolded, I think it's pretty clear that a lot of members of the mainstream media and their Democrat allies were actively cheering on the virus and that this time it'll be the end of the Trump presidency. And you mentioned something similar. You say a partisan news media that have the ultimate goal of bringing down the approval ratings of President Trump. And we'll come back to his response later in the show. But do you think that maybe now, after the last few weeks, that the media is finally starting to take this a little bit more seriously? Or are they still just going on with the fear-mongering?
Well, there's some segments. You know, we did hear some kind words out of Joe Scarborough, which is unusual for the president and his approach, and also
Dana
to
Bash.
Back him.
Yeah,
Dana Bash. And so, so there's some people that when they get to know the approach and what he's doing, and of course, they get scared when they study the biology and look at what kind of virus this is and how much more contagious it is than the flu and how much more dangerous and all that. But the other thing they don't do, and I'm not talking about Dana Bash and Joe Scarborough, but generally the media, they don't report the positives because, for example, there's a breakout occurring right now, a new breakout of cures. There's there's one in Japan, there's one in France, And there's one here in the United States, a Stanford research physician appeared on Fox News, and he used language that this is a guy that's on the faculty of Stanford University whose work is in the world of research. They don't use language like this. He said using this particular drug combination is, get this percentage, 100% effective, yes, against the coronavirus. He said this yesterday. He said, spread it everywhere. Yes. Well, let's get this going. Well, that's just one. And it focuses on an old malaria drug called, as I pronounce this right, hydroxychloroquine. And yes,
HCQ.
HCQ, yeah, is working, and together with other drugs, they create a little cocktail. And it's just, I guess, and these are not vaccines. These are cures, therapeutic cures that counter the drug. And so, you know, and I think, and this is what the president, one of his approaches is to fast track approval, mm-hmm, in the FDA, yep, so that we get these things out. And this is going to be ultimately where this thing ends, with the innovation of the free market of the Western world. It's going to bring an end to a nightmare that was caused by a communist totalitarian government in China. I'm a racist.
Isn't that ironic, is that they keep trying to push universal health care and socialized medicine. And where did this start? It started in a country with full socialized medicine. I think it's crazy. As far as the media is concerned, personally, I think their worst fears are going to be realized when Trump is going to be elected in a landslide. And I say that because all of the attacks on Trump that we've seen over the last month or two, and as much as they built up this coronavirus from the beginning, I think when we come out of this, it's going to look like Trump not only saved us from the next bubonic plague, it's going to look like Trump saved the entire world from disaster, because, of course, we're going to be in a good place, and we'll be the ones sending hospital ships and supplies to other countries, because that's who we are. In about a minute or so that we have left with you in this segment, what's been the response there in Hollywood? I'm sure they've been just very reasoned and selfless in all of this.
You know, the Hollywood has been obnoxious, partisan, and ignorant at the same time. I mean, first of all, of course, their Trump hatred came out, and they jumped on the early press, blaming President Trump. Somehow President Trump had created the virus, even though these same people criticized the president for shutting down travel from China early on, way back in January, doing that, attacked by Joe Biden, no less, and Democrats, and of course, people in Hollywood. But the other thing they did is they helped fuel the overpurchase and panic buying of these surgical masks,
right,
by getting creating this trend of selfies wearing masks. And it was so irresponsible and selfish. And these masks, the reason it's so important not to go out and buy those things is because it doesn't help individuals at all, but it also takes away these important tools from healthcare professionals who need to wear them, not just for the coronavirus, but for any type of contagion. They know how to wear them and fit them properly, and the average person doesn't.
Right.
And what they end up doing is making things, conditions, so that it's more likely that they'll come down with coronavirus or some other contagious disease by wearing them. But that, of course, doesn't stop
people
in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's just so disconnected to it. You look at these celebrities, and it's like someone trying to draw attention to themselves while a house is still burning and the family's sitting out on the curb. I mean, they just don't seem to have a clue how distasteful their behavior is. Let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll continue this with James Herson, and we'll be talking about Trump's response, rising above the hatred to lead. Welcome back. Talk today to James Herson. He is a New York Times bestselling author, best known perhaps for Tales from the Left Coast, and he also has a popular weekly column. You can find all of his great writing on jameshurston.com. I'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. And James, in this segment, I'd really like to focus on what Trump's been doing. Do you realize that just 6 weeks ago, as of Thursday this week, 6 weeks ago, we were still in the middle of impeachment? Can you imagine where we'd be right now if Trump had been impeached?
Oh, we would be in trouble. You know, look, there's two things when you bring up the impeachment. One is that the Democrats were so busy, Pelosi and Adam Schiff, working on this hoax of an impeachment based on a Ukrainian phone call, that they weren't even paying attention at all to the coronavirus.
Nope.
You remember, the coronavirus really started to come into the fore right about the time that Nancy Pelosi was refusing to deliver the articles of impeachment. We had turned into the first year, and it was just shortly after that that President Trump took what would be an action that I say there would be no American, no modern American politician would have done it. It would only be President Trump who would lay down travel restrictions out of a country of China, because it was criticized for being xenophobic and racist. And the other thing that Trump has done that has been extremely unique, and it was behind the scenes, we didn't know it, is that he mobilized the private sector in the form of some huge corporations. When he announced recently that he was declaring a state of emergency, and part of the reason he announced that was to free up $50 billion, which now seems like chump change compared to what they're considering.
Yes.
But he needed to do that because he needed to go around Congress and develop more leverage with Congress. And when he announced that, he also announced that he and his staffers had engaged in these meetings with business leaders and forged agreements. Ones in particular, in which are now happening, Target, Walmart, CVS Drugs, all donating and contributing part of their big parking lots for drive-through testing, which is something we have to do now until we have self-testing, which is coming. And that Google, through a subsidiary, was constructing a website to help individuals determine whether a test is needed. All of this to help that idea of flattening out the curve. And then that he announced this fast track that I mentioned, the Food and Drug Administration approval, they used that fast track to bang out a new coronavirus test that could test much larger groups of people. And then, you know, in addition to that, his staff was negotiating through Steven Mnuchin with Nancy Pelosi to get this first phase of legislation done, which is clearly, it's not going to be pleasing to all conservatives, because it is a compromise bill that you have to do, knowing that you got to get it by Pelosi, and you have to get it by the watered down Republicans in the Senate. With aligning with Schumer, you got to get it by Mitt Romney, you know. And so, but it does have within it some very important things for the economy, to not have the stock market continue tanking. And so there, I think that with the president, with those three prongs, and now they're working on more legislation, is addressing this twofold, because we have, in my view, we have a threat from the virus. I think people are really chipping in and really volunteering, and I think we're going to flatten that curve. But what's more dangerous for more people is the tanking of the economy and the loss of jobs, and really the loss of the economic accomplishments that have been made by Trump in these last 3.5 years. And,
well,
and
but,
that
but,
brings us back.
But I think that's really, though, an important point, because if we had not had those 3 years of success, we would be in a world of hurt right now. If Trump had not made the economy as strong as it was, we wouldn't have been able to absorb this. I mean, you look at some other countries, they're in far worse shape than we are as far as their markets and everything else. But thank goodness that Trump had built up the economy, because now essentially we're able to afford some of this. And some of these countries...
Go ahead. No, that's exactly right. Part of the reason to have a strong economy is for national security.
Exactly.
Because if you have a strong economy, you can engage in a war footing, which the president is correct. I love his phraseology, the invisible enemy. This is a war footing. We're all chipping in. We're going to beat it. But if we didn't have a strong economy, we would not be as well positioned to be able to fight this war.
Exactly.
And then it brings us back to what's going to be the fundamental questions for Americans. Who is going to be better suited to rebuild what will be a damaged economy when they vote in November? Is it going to be a man who's demonstrated that ability, who's an outsider, who learned in the business world how to do it? Or is it going to be a man who doesn't know what state he's in, what office he's running for, and calls voters who ask questions lying dog-faced pony soldiers?
Yeah, I just can't imagine a President Biden right now. I think that's rather frightening. You mentioned all of the behind-the-scenes things that Trump was doing. I think that itself makes the media response to this that much more distasteful. I mean, they're lying about Trump calling it a hoax. They've been lying about him rejecting these World Health Organization tests. I just find all of that that much more reprehensible, knowing now what we do about how Trump has been so busily working to make all of us safe in this time. James, unfortunately, we're up against the clock with you. I want to thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. And let's stay in the light and prayerfully beat this back.
Absolutely. And we can all work together. It really is exciting in some ways. It's like watching the space race of the 60s and 70s crammed into a couple months' time. James, again, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, God bless you.
And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking now to Angelita Sanchez. She is owner of Angels Rock and Roll Construction, and she's also the Timber Unity board member and spokesperson. Angelita, it's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Sure, absolutely. You know, Timber Unity, of course, is more than just log trucks. It really is anyone who supports natural resources and farming and of course, trucking. If you bought it, a truck brought it to you. So give us an overall sense of what's happening out there in the trucking industry. What are you hearing from some of your members, and what are you going through?
Oh, it's a little bit crazy for the trucking industry right now, and pretty much everybody, I would suspect. I am going through some things. I know that our log truckers are nervous about some things. Our loggers are nervous. There's just a lot of economic uncertainty. People are losing jobs because the stocks are going down. Truckers are having barriers put in place to move supplies here and there. Many things are happening. It's hard to keep up.
what are some of the barriers that are being put up that you just mentioned there?
Well, I know that some of the places are on lockdown, so that's a little bit concerning. I know that there was a letter sent out to the president today to try to make it a little more easier to move supplies, such as keeping the rest areas open so people could have a break like they're supposed to in regards to their hours of service. Even actually doing away with hours of service so we can get supplies to where they need to be within a timely fashion. Mm. Some of these people, even myself, my medical certificate is needing to be renewed this month. And some people can't even go out of their houses to get their medical certificates renewed. So that's a little bit hard if you want to keep trucking. I personally am not going to be going to get my medical certificate renewed because, well, I'm doing this self-quarantine thing because I went to my doctor's office and they were shut down yesterday and today for cleaning because one of their healthcare providers has the Corona 19 virus. So it's just really, it's just really tricky. The president is trying to extend the medical certificate, or he's being lobbied to extend the medical certificates and the CDLs for 90 days. So you don't have to worry about that, because we do need the truckers on the road and we do need them to deliver supplies. But sometimes there's rest areas that are shut down in different states and they can't even take a break, wash their hands, take a shower, get a meal. It's just really crazy for over the road truckers right now. And it's really hard for people locally too, with what's going on in the stocks. So,
in terms of your own personal experience, you're a business owner. You've got, you're in a quarantine, simply because somebody that you may have had contact with had the virus. How is that affecting your business? I mean, how are you able to get these other people that work for you? How are you able to get them out on the road?
That I do a lot of things by phone. I just keep trying to call people to see about work. But right now, my drivers are laid off. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen small business wise in regards to my company during this time. Because, I mean, I don't, this is kind of crazy, but the self-quarantine is like 14 to 20 days incubation period. So you just gotta, make for sure. And I just am, I'm just really nervous about it. So I don't really know, to be honest, what's going to happen with my business. I got some good information from a phone call that I have, and I don't know if we're going to talk about that now or later, but I'm hopeful by what the president has said in regards to helping small businesses. So I'm just going to hang my hat on that and see what happens there for now.
Yeah, we definitely want to talk to you about that. We'll do that in more length in the next segment there. But in terms of you yourself, I mean, how are you set? I mean, do you have family and friends that can help you out when you're in quarantine? Because, you know, clearly you can't be going to the stores and whatnot. So are you set for that sort of thing?
Okay, so that's kind of crazy. I do have a little bit of extra, but I do have people that could help me also. We have profit a little bit that we can live on and sustain us for a short while, but there are people that are willing to help. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it though to stay inside, but man, I just do whatever you can to make it better for other people is what we're trying to do right now. So I just am really concerned to protect others, but it's going to be a cabin fever.
for sure. In terms of your business, because you know, you do have your own business, what's the economic outlook for that? I mean, are jobs being canceled? Are you finding new ones? What's the situation there?
So there is work opportunity available, but I have to wait for that to open up because people are nervous about investing money because the stock markets are going down. I had a job for this entire week and it got canceled. So everybody's kind of hanging on to hear what our governor is going to do next before they decide what money they're going to spend to pay subcontractors like me to work for them. So I'm kind of put on hold. I know some more people are put on hold. I know that there's log mills shutting down next week too. And so we're all just like waiting to see what's going to happen. If the state doesn't shut down, my contractors are telling me there is work. And so I haven't been around my drivers, so they can certainly get in the trucks and go to work. And I sure am praying that that happens. I mean, I'm not sure about the lockdown, but at least we could still work if we weren't totally locked down. But if she does do that, then they said that there's not going to be work. So
Well, it does sound like that phone call that you had with the White House officials gave you some hope. So let's go ahead and talk about that next. Everyone stay with us. More with Angela Sanchez of Timber Unity. And welcome back. We're talking today to Angelita Sanchez. She is the owner of Angels Rock and Roll Construction. She's also a member of Timber Unity. She's their spokesperson. And Angelita, you had a really interesting phone call earlier on Friday, Friday afternoon. You spoke with some White House officials. Why don't you talk to us about that phone call?
Okay, well, that was something that was really hopeful. It was a call for all small businesses to call into this number and listen to the President of the United States address small business. I will say that they did say that this was not on the record and this is not for press. And they said it in the beginning and they said it in the end. But they did have him come on there and lay out a couple of things that he thinks is going to be happening for small businesses in the United States.
Is there anything in particular that, you know, without going into too much details, if they didn't want you to share things immediately, I'm sure they'll be dealing with that down the road here. Is there anything in particular that maybe you could talk about that did give you some extra hope? Or is it just the fact that you know that he's there listening?
I don't mind sharing the information. I took a couple pages of notes. They did say they're still in negotiations. So these are some of the things that he's hoping to make happen. And I really believe that he will. He said that we are seeing some of it happen in the news right now, and we'll see some more of it happening soon. He said there will be direct payments and relief to industries. He said he's going to be infusing $300 billion directly to small businesses for favorable loans to keep employees on payroll and covering overhead expenses. And a very important word, which he reiterated, it's very important that these loans will be forgiven.
Wow.
So I was really shocked to hear that. And if that's true, if that happens, that's going to be something we've never seen before, and would help a lot of people. He said he has a shared urgency, and that the SBA will also be offering low interest disaster relief loans, $18 billion in 7A loans. They've moved the tax day, which we have seen this afternoon,
yes.
Friday afternoon, July 15th, 2020. So you don't have to file or pay until July 15th, 2020.
You know,
I
would think that would be a huge relief. In fact, I was on a radio show Friday morning talking about something similar, which is that would be a huge relief if government, you know, here in Oregon wants to give people an immediate infusion, start waiving all of the taxes, you know, especially for some of these small businesses. I mean, that would be a huge relief if suddenly people didn't have to pay their payroll taxes.
He goes even further and says Treasury has agreed to allow payroll withholding taxes to be used as your cash flow.
Wow.
He said that's a really big thing. He also said that paid sick leave and paid family medical leave will be matched dollar for dollar as a tax credit if you can afford when you pay your employees that.
Wow.
And then 50 employees or less exempt from certain requirements if their business is in jeopardy. So I feel strongly that those are pretty, he said, aggressive action for immediate relief. And I really believe that he's going to make that happen. And I hope that our local state government can think about businesses in those type of ways, too. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to hear some of the fixes that he's been proposing, especially since he's a businessman himself. He knows what it's like to have to deal with government. He, of course, had thousands of employees. But I mean, he didn't start out that way. I mean, he started out as a small businessman, and he knows what it's like to try to meet payroll and everything else. And so I'm very curious to hear more about the favorable loans that he mentioned, especially if they're not going to be paid back. That sounds more like of a grant situation.
I'm really interested in that too.
Yeah,
loans
yeah.
forgiven, a very important word. He reiterated multiple times. That's significant. So,
Well, at the end of that phone call, it sounds like you felt a lot better than going in.
Oh, man, that was like night and day now, wasn't it? It's really hard to be stressed as a business owner when you're trying to keep something going for so long and you see Timber Unity's been working for 10 months or more just to have the right to work, and then for something else to come and pull the rug out from under you out of nowhere. It's just like, what? What the heck? And so to hear the president say those words, that he's going to have our back. They haven't forgotten about us. They're going to do whatever they can to assist us, come alongside us, and even possibly match what we do dollar for dollar, and even forgive and allow us to use payroll taxes for cash flow. That's unbelievable. And I am so thankful that he's thinking along those lines, because for people like me, that's a lifeline to make it through this.
Sure.
State of emergency.
Did they give you an indication of how long they think that this will be going on? I mean, you know, 30 days, 60 days, anything like that?
Yeah. There was a handful of other speakers on there, and I apologize, I didn't take down their names or very good notes. I was mostly just listening to the president and shocked by what he said. But the guy said that at the end, he was going to keep everybody whole, and this is going to be better in months, not years.
Yes.
So he said for 4 to 7 weeks, don't look at your stocks, but everything will get fixed.
Yes.
And I'm going back to negotiate our solutions, and then they hung up.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. That is really encouraging to hear. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. Come back. We'll wrap things up with Angelita Sanchez of Timber Unity. Stay with us. Welcome back into our final segment now on the iSpy Radio Show, talking today to Angelita Sanchez. She is the owner of Angels Rock and Roll Construction. She's also a board member for Timber Unity and their spokesperson as well. Angelita, what's your guys' website nowadays?
Well, we're still at www.timberunity.com, but you can find a lot of our information on the Facebook group Timber Unity.
Okay. And we'll make sure we link that up on iSpyRadio.com. And so in this last segment here with you, in terms of what Timber Unity is doing going forward, one of the things I really admire that you guys did, especially there at the Timber Unity rally, and then in subsequent posts that I've seen there on Facebook, you guys have really been saying it's not enough just to show up at the Capitol and honk your horns, but you've really got to get involved. And you guys were making some great pushes to recruit some actual candidates for some of the House and Senate seats here in Oregon. Why don't you talk to us about some of what you guys have been doing?
Well, right now we're just wondering if we're still going to have the primaries, but I just read the news article that the primaries of May 19th are still going to go on. Mm. So we just got done endorsing candidates and helping the candidates that we endorse get their voter pamphlet filled out. We're going to be working with candidates as soon as we can figure out what's going to go on with this coronavirus pandemic, to get their name out there, to get boots on the ground, to go talking to people. Right now, I know they're doing phone calls, helping people reach out to constituents that are could be voting and introducing the candidates. And we're trying really hard. We cannot let this coronavirus affect what we're going to do to take down the supermajority. That's like majorly cannot happen.
Absolutely.
So we're working really hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really agree with what the president had said there on your phone call, which is that we're going to be better off in a few months here than we were before. And I truly believe that with the stock market, but also just I think with business, it's going to take some heartache. It's going to take a lot of pain to get us there. But I feel so confident with President Trump having been in the business circles, having been going through everything that he's gone through. I just certainly feel very confident with everything that he's trying to do. I also think that really on the other side of this, we're going to, and this ties right into what you guys are doing there in terms of politics. I really think that on the other side of this, people running for office, we're going to expect you to have some level of business experience, some level of business savvy there. You can't, we just can't have people anymore that thinks it's just perfectly fine to just go down and go ahead and shut down private industry. That just can't happen again.
They're totally unprepared. So
yes.
You have to have people that do know what it's like to run business, to run industry, to run the economics of the state in office when stuff like this happens, as
yes.
to not totally crash the whole thing.
Well, and also, I think we really need some safeguards in place. I mean, so much of what we've seen so far is not government. It's one individual. It's the governor. She's been making executive orders. This is not, none of this has been happening through the votes of the legislature. None of that.
No, don't get me started on the governor, because I kind of feel she's responsible for a lot of this, but,
Yeah, absolutely. Get started on the governor, because I think you're right. She absolutely is responsible for a lot of this.
The whole pet project of the cap and trade that's been going on for multiple years now, instead of having a proactive approach to protecting small businesses, she just wants, it seems like, to destroy it no matter which way. So not having a plan when something like this happens is just the same as trying to do cap and trade. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
She hates small businesses, it seems like.
Yes, absolutely. It seems that way. I mean, and she doesn't seem to understand that businesses don't just magically have money appear in their bank accounts. And to take people out of business for a couple of months when you're on a 1 or 2% profit margin, that's a huge thing that you just did. And you can't just easily replace it with cash from the government.
No, especially, yeah. It is very difficult to run a business on small margins, and then for her to just, I understand that there's an epidemic going on, but like you said, safeguards in place, so you don't just have to shut it down. You have all of these other things to help us keep going during the shutdown,
yes.
if she does that. And
that's
there's
right.
none of that. There's none of that right now.
No, there sure isn't.
And Collier, it's very stressful.
Yes, and I think the answer on the other side of this will once again be getting government out of the way, not more regulations, but fewer. Angelita, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, well, I thank you for having me, and I look forward to talking to you again.
You know, I'm sitting here listening and thinking, and I just suspect the next phase of this will likely be for governors to demand that the federal government bail states out for the governor's own bad decisions. Shut down California or Oregon, no problemo. The federal government always has more money. I'm sure they'll foot the bill for our bad call. The problem is going to be that the government simply won't admit their mistakes and will instead dig in. And that's why, after this is done, there's going to be a reckoning. And the ones who dug the pit will have to be removed, which is exactly why they won't admit their mistakes. Thanks for being here. Be safe out there. Stay sane. Check the website, iSpyRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter at iSpyRadio and help us spread the word, won't you? Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.